Good morning, everyone. So healthcare reform was barely scratched off the to-do list there, and it seemed as though the president quite literally gave the globe a whirl. Surprise visit to Afghanistan. The president also announced on Friday a nuclear deal with the Russians. There's a new government in Iraq announced in Baghdad. Washington barely noticed that. But while the president is quite literally up in the air heading home from Bagram, we thought it would be a good moment to take a look at the Obama doctrine, or at least the Obama foreign policy. Is it coming into focus now? And what are the priorities? Lawrence Korb returns to The Takeaway. He's a former assistant secretary of defense in the Reagan administration, currently serving as a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning.
So it seems to me in the last few days, we suddenly know a lot about the Obama foreign policy, or at least I do. It seems as though Afghanistan is the absolute centerpiece. He wants victory in Afghanistan, that nuclear proliferation is a second priority with an agreement with the Russians already in his back pocket. And if there's a third piece to this, it's the U.S. relationship with China. Would you go along with that?
Well, certainly. And those problems have been with them since day one. But because we here at home are so focused on the economy, he's had to give a lot of attention to that, as well as the media. And then, of course, with the drive for health care, that just sort of took all the oxygen out of the foreign policy. But the world was going on. In addition to the things that you mentioned, you also have the situation with Israel and the settlements and the whole attempt to get the Middle East peace process started again.
Well, we'll talk about that in a moment. But listen to the rhetoric out of Obama during his surprise visit over the weekend to Kabul, Afghanistan. Anand Gopal from the Christian Science Monitor noted that there seems to be a considerable degree of optimism stateside as far as achieving victory in Afghanistan is concerned, and Obama seems to reflect that here. Listen.
And if this region slides backwards, if the Taliban retakes this country, and Al-Qaeda can operate with impunity, then more American lives will be at stake. The Afghan people will lose their chance at progress and prosperity. And the world will be significantly less secure.
Victory in Afghanistan, a practical mission of the Obama administration, Larry Korb?
Well, he has defined victory as in Afghanistan with two pillars. One, to ensure that Afghanistan does not become a haven for Al-Qaeda, and second, that Afghanistan doesn't destabilize the region. He's not talked about, making Afghanistan, a functioning, well-led, democracy. And I think that's important. And what's also important that wasn't really mentioned, in the analysis of it or, his speech, he has basically doubled the number of troops, but he said starting the end of this year, in December, he's going to take a look out so he can start withdrawing them just about a year from now.
And by then, Afghanistan will be, if my calculation is correct, America's longest war, and Obama will be the commander-in-chief of it. Let's talk about Soviet or Russian nukes. Soviet, listen to me. But the agreement over the weekend did harken back to the Cold War days. Listen to the president talking about the reduction in nuclear weapons agreement with the Russians.
In many ways, nuclear weapons represent both the darkest days of the Cold War and the most troubling threats of our time. Today, we've taken another step forward in leaving behind the legacy of the 20th century while building a more secure future for our children.
Lawrence Korb, is this agreement with the Russians a real step forward into a kind of 21st century nuclear nonproliferation regime, or is it just a bit of a detail left over from the Cold War?
Well, it's a necessary first step toward what Obama mentioned in his speech in Prague just about a year ago when, and right after he first came into office. He wants to move toward really downplaying and eventually eliminating the role of nuclear weapons in the world. But first, you've got to get the Russians to go along with reductions. The other is he's concerned about, proliferation of nuclear weapons, particularly to Iran. And by making this agreement, it improves the United States' moral authority to tell other countries you shouldn't be getting them because we, you know, we're living up to our part of the bargain, which is to eliminate them. The other is the Russians needed this more than we needed it because their nuclear weapons are deteriorating, and by doing this, it enables them to do what they would have had to do for financial reasons anyway, and hopefully gets them to cooperate more with us in Iran.
And, of course, the Russians dealing this morning with a serious terrorist attack, twin bombings there in Moscow at the height of the rush hour. So the war on terror in a global perspective certainly doesn't diminish in significance at all. But let's talk about, though, the issue you raised a couple of minutes ago, the U.S. relationship with Israel. Benjamin Netanyahu was sort of hustled in and out of the White House like he was some sort of, I don't know, a persona non grata.
Right.
It seemed like a very low-key reception for the Prime Minister of Israel. Does this mean that the peace process is pretty low on Obama's priority list?
No, paradoxically it means it's high, but in order to get the peace process going, you have to do something about the settlements in Israel, because that has become basically an issue that allows the Palestinians to say, well, we don't want to negotiate with them because they're basically violating the international law that says, you know, they have no right to do this. And by speaking out against it, this improves not only the prospects to get the Palestinians to the table, but America's image in the Arab world. I mean, one of the most interesting things that occurred during this whole dust-up with Israel, where they embarrassed Biden by announcing, you know, the 1,600 settlements in East Jerusalem, was the General Petraeus, the head of our Central Command, telling Admiral Mullen, you know, this peace process is causing American lives because it's under, you know, it's enhancing the Al-Qaeda narrative and getting them to recruit people. So basically what I think the administration is saying, look, we got to get this peace process started. We've got to be seen as an effective negotiator now, you know, not just, you know, in Israel's corner. And that's why not only did you have Biden get upset when he was there, but when Secretary of State Clinton had a 43-minute phone call with Prime Minister Netanyahu, basically reading the riot act over this.
All right. Larry Korb, senior fellow at the Center for American Progress, former assistant secretary of defense in the Reagan administration. Thanks so much for joining us.
Okay. Thanks for having me.
Perhaps the last headline there, Iraq announces a new government on Saturday. It was almost as though the White House
didn't notice.
Didn't pay much attention at all. So where does that fit in the Obama doctrine?
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.